Hey everyone, welcome to the Let's Be Real podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Eunice, and I believe we need all the help we can get when it comes to living a full and free life. Here you'll find honest truth, practical tips, and perspective changes that help you embrace the miracle that is your life. It's an in-process conversation that's going to be unfiltered, and it better be fun. Let's get real together. Hey everyone, welcome back to Let's Be Real. I'm so excited that you guys can join us, and I'm very excited to introduce you to today's guest. Karen Eamon is with me. We met back at the Embassy Suites. I think we shared like a, you know, mediocre buffet together, Karen. We were on a radio show together like a long time ago.
It's been at least like 5 years, I would say. With you, I didn't look, but
I think it's more than that, because I believe it was with my first book, which was like 10 years ago. It must have been less than 10 years ago, but I think you were getting ready to write a book that I think has been a really, really great one for you that's reached a lot of people. I think it was Keep It Shut. Is that one of your books?
That sounds right. Oh yeah, that is.
So you were actually working on that. I don't think you had written it yet, but you were working on that. So there you go. Well, Karen, I'm so excited to have you on Let's Be Real. We are all about just relationships and finding freedom in truth and clarity and honesty. And your next book that just came out this summer is definitely right up the alley. I love the title. It jumped out to me right away. When Making Others Happy is Making You Miserable. And I was just on your social media, and I love when you said, you know, you can say no to a friend without saying no to the friendship. Like, you can be a friend who says no to a friend. And I'm just curious if that's come out of your own life and, you know, how you've learned that lesson, because I think we can all really relate to that, especially right now.
Yes, it definitely has come out of my own life. And I used to have wrong thinking on that and think I have to always say yes to a friend because they're my friend, right? And so if they need help, if they're in a pinch, if, you know, there's anything that they come to me with that has any sort of ask to it, the answer always has to be yes, because I've just feared offending them, or I feared letting them down, or I feared there just being some kind of awkwardness going forward. And I just, I'm one of those people that I just don't like awkwardness in relationships. I don't like pauses of silence, which my husband's always like, it's okay. You don't have to be God's gap filler and always jump in there and you know, whenever there's a pause.
Oh my gosh, I used to
fear that there would be something awkward in one of my friendships, and it would never be the same if I said no to them. But I have realized in this whole journey that God has had me on in learning to break out of the prison of people pleasing, that I can still say yes to a friendship, but say no to a request from a friend.
Oh yeah. Well, tell us about that. Like, take us to the moment where you realized that you couldn't keep, that you were miserable, that you couldn't keep going the way that you had been going.
Yeah, it was about 3.5 years ago when I kind of hit a wall. I've known my whole life that I'm a people pleaser. And in the defense of people pleasers everywhere who are listening, with us, I feel like it's a strength that gets carried to an extreme. And now it's, well, we don't say the word weakness in our house. We say a non-strength. Okay, so now it's a non-strength.
Okay.
So, you know, I love to help people. I love to make people happy. I, you know, love to serve and love others, but when it's left unchecked, it can morph into people pleasing, because no longer am I doing it because I feel that's what God's calling me to do, and I have the bandwidth and the skill to help, but I'm doing it because the other person expects me to. And about 3.5 years ago, I had just let my plate get so full that, you know, things were just falling off the edges of it. And we just moved to a new town to be closer to my parents, my dad and my stepmom and my mom. And my dad died 19 days later after we moved. And now my stepmom and my mom are both gone too. But this was the beginning of a lot of grief that was starting to happen.
Wow.
We also had a child getting married, and we were adjusting to a new town, and there was just so much going on. And my best friend from college asked me something that would require me to open my home a couple nights a week if her son needed a place to stay, because he was doing an internship in our neck of the woods, and it was quite a long commute back to Detroit every day. And so I said yes, you know, even though everything within me was like saying, don't say yes to this. You have too much going on. But I thought, this is my best friend. I've got to say yes. And I remember, Nicole, hanging up that phone, walking out in my backyard, to the fire pit at the back of our property and sitting in the chair and just bawling and thinking, I have got to stop this. Uh-huh. I was just so convicted that I should have been truthful, but I wasn't. Mm-hmm. And for about 3 days, I hem-hawed around and I never got back to her. But during those 3 days, I started not just having regret in my mind. I started having symptoms in my body, and my left eye was twitching and it wouldn't stop twitching. And I couldn't sleep at night. And I thought, this is going to be the death of me. Mm-hmm. And so here was the big lesson I learned about saying no to a friend, but still saying yes to the friendship. Mm-hmm. I felt God calling me to a season, which I call a season of necessary and no. I did only what was necessary for my home, my family, and my job, my ministry. And I said no to everything else. And so I dropped out of a bunch of stuff, even if it was just simple, like making cookies for the toddler class at church, right? But my last phone call was to that best friend, and she was so gracious. You know, she has someone in her life that's struggled with over-serving and had actually had some mental issues because of it, and some mental stress in their life where they had to take some time off work. And she said, you know what? I care more about you and your mental health. I'll find something, you know, that'll help us. I'll figure something out. I care about you, and I'm going to be checking in on you this summer. I think you need to take it easy and quit saying yes to everybody. And it's not going to affect our friendship one iota. And that's when I really learned, you know, if there is awkwardness when we say no to people and we don't meet their request, and if they start to, you know, kind of drop off the radar and don't hang around so much, don't come come our way, you know, were they really that good of a friend in the first place? Or were they only friends with us because what we could do for them?
So I think that's a really hard lesson. I think you're putting your finger on something that actually is the fear, right? I mean, we fear if I'm not the one controlling this, or if I'm not the one who's always available or always, then maybe I'll lose this, right? And I'm guessing, man, for you to go from what you're just, I mean, as soon as you said cookies for toddler church, I was like, oh gosh. if you're like that extreme on your yeses, right? Like you're really a person who responds, man, what was that summer like? And who held you accountable? And how did you decide what was necessary? Like you said.
Well, my best friend and my husband, the one that I, my best friend from college that I had to go call back and tell, you know, I got to back out of this. Yeah. They were the two that checked in on me. And I'm telling you, the first 2 weeks were so awkward and filled with a lot of anxiety because I was afraid when I called people and said, hey, you know, I said I could teach a small group in the fall, you know, but that's going to fall within this 3 month window. Cause I really felt like this was around Memorial Day. And I felt like the Lord said until Labor Day, nothing. So it was about 3 months. And I remember, you know, calling up some people and backing out of some things. And I was like literally shaking. Yeah. And I thought, this is so crazy. This is so crazy. If I were to suddenly pass away, they'd find someone else, right? You know, they could find someone else. So the first couple of phone calls were really hard. I would love to say everyone took it as well as my best friend did. Most people were very gracious and said, oh, no problem. We'll find someone else. We just know you love making cookies or whatever, you know?
Right.
But there were a couple people that were kind of ticked off because now all of a sudden I wasn't rescuing them. I wasn't racing in there and lightening their load and meeting their need. And now they had to find someone else. And a couple people were a little snarky about it and said, well, I wish you would have told me from the beginning. And I said, well, that was before I started having physical manifestations of stress in my life because I've said yes to too many things. I am telling you, I love you. My heart wishes I could say yes, but the reality of what's going on in my life right now, I mean, I was grieving the death of my father. I was super close to him. And you know, that right there should have been enough to make me kind of drop out of some things. But you know, with that and a new move and a new being a mother-in-law for the first time, and just everything that was going on, you know, I just said, my heart would love to say yes, but I know I have to say no. So I will help you brainstorm about who can do this since I can't do it. You know, I'll be praying for you, whatever. I tried to be as helpful as possible without being the one to actually say yes to the entire task. And I would say, you know, 85-90% of the people were super understanding, but there are a few that were not real happy. And then
well,
the next time
I'm
kind of
glad for you for that, since you wrote a book about it. Because like for, you wouldn't want to like, that is the reality, right? I feel like that ratio is just about it. It's like, yeah, like most people are going to be great about it and some people aren't, like for sure in your life right now.
Well, exactly. And I had to be honest too, you know, because my husband has a very subtle way of saying something that could sting because it's true, but he says it and like, you know, well, how do you think they, you know, he said to me one day, how do you think they ever got the idea you know, that you're going to always say yes. And mm-hmm. I remembered something my friend Rachel had told me years ago. It's actually, I hunted it down because I'm like, I know she didn't say this quote. She heard it somewhere. And I think it was Tony Gaskins Jr. that first said it, but it's a statement. It's a truth. And it's this, that you teach people how to treat you.
Mm-hmm.
You do. And I had taught everyone in my life, you need something, text Karen, call Karen, send her a DM. She's your girl. She loves to help because I, you know, my personality makeup is I both love achieving and I love helping. Mm-hmm. So if someone needs help, they know I'm going to achieve it. So they come to me.
And, you are the answer to everyone's like problem when you're good at it and you're never going to say no. I mean, there's, and then people don't, I mean, then people don't really know even who you are because if it's just a yes to everything, then it's as if you don't have any specific passion or purpose. But I'd love to circle back to this, the 2 weeks of anxiety of really having to say no. I'm really impressed that you, because if it was me, I'd be like, I can teach your Bible study, but not for the first 2 weeks. Like I wouldn't be able to like get all the way out like you did. And you had accountability with your friend, your husband. I'm really wondering, Karen, what happened in your heart? Because I think a lot of us get really busy in order so that we don't have to grieve, so that we don't have to feel or face transition or, you know, so how did that part go for you?
You're exactly right. And that's what I had done 5 years prior when one of my best friends, who was also my sister-in-law, passed away from cancer. I just dove in and got so busy, I didn't have to think about it. And that didn't work well. And so when my dad died, I had a friend, a close friend of mine, coworker actually, who said, you know what, Karen, if you don't make space to process this grief, the grief's going to process you and it's not going to, and it's not going to be pretty. And so I knew that I just needed to clear my schedule, scrape off my plate, do nothing outside of my home and my job for 3 months, just so I had space that if, you know what, I felt like just checking out for the day and, you know, going for a walk and going to the ice cream store my dad used to take me to and get an ice cream cone and go into the park and sitting there and bawling my fool head off. I had the space to do it because I wasn't going, but I've got to finish work today and then I got to make dinner and then I've got, you know, three friends that need help. And I said, yes, I'd go to the Tupperware party or whatever people sell these days, you know, not that I don't love people that sell stuff, but I'm like, I didn't even do those things. I mean, I had friends in there that were having these parties with their products, you know, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm not coming to the party and I'm not buying anything, you know, sorry. I'm just, for once, I'm going to do nothing to make that space to grieve. And it was, oh my goodness, guess what else I did? I took back up a hobby. I haven't had a hobby in years.
Yes.
And I used to, when I was younger, I used to embroidery. My mom taught me how to do it. And I, during this time, this summer of Necessary and No, my mom gave me my grandma's sewing box that she got when my grandma passed away. And she gave it to me and I looked at it and I'm like, there's embroidery thread in there. I am going to start a little, you know, time for me, even though it doesn't really mean that I have people that want my embroidery products.
Yeah, it's not like productive, like in the successful achieving, you know.
But it's creative and it's something I can, you know, take out on my front porch. We have a little pond and right off our front porch, I'd love to sit there and listen to the water. And I just sit there and embroidery, shut my phone off, don't even take my phone out there. And I only did it for like a half hour a day, but I thought I have not done something just enjoyable and creative and for no other purpose than I just felt like doing it for a half hour a day since I was young. I just wasn't. And it was so relaxing. You know, I've had so many people tell me if you work with your hands all day long, you need a hobby that uses your brain. But if you work with your brain all day long, you need a hobby that uses your hands. And it's so true. It was so relaxing.
Such a good word. And I just love, first of all, thank you for your honesty. I am just touched by you basically, to me, honoring your father by making space for a relationship with him in your grief. You know what I mean? Like for you to walk those same paths and allow those experiences and cry, you know, when needed. And I think healing just doesn't happen on an agenda. Like you can't put your healing on a to-do list and be like, I'll just squeeze this in between carpools. It really does kind of like need the space that you made for it and the grounding practices. I mean, that's what's so crazy about like hobbies, you know, like they actually are grounding. They are a way to relieve anxiety, and they allow your brain, right, to process some things differently because you're working with your hands. That's like bonus content, you guys. That's not even on the, it's not even on the interview schedule. That's just, but I think it's so true. And I'm curious, like when you entered back in to life through that time, what are some of those things that you learned, those lessons that I know you write about in the book that have stayed with you now as you've kind of entered back into the yeses and nos?
Well, I wasn't so afraid any longer to say no because I'd had a whole summer of practice. And so I just didn't have as much stress if I felt like something was not my call, you know? It was something maybe I was capable of doing, but I didn't feel called to do. And I wasn't, you know, not that we need to love everything we say yes to. I don't want to make it sound like that. But, you know when you're saying yes to something and it's really not your call. And it just, I just wasn't afraid so much anymore. And I just, I learned to not answer right away because I always tended to just go, oh, sure. You know, I was your yes girl. And I would say it not only consistently, but I would say it quickly. And so I learned to say, you know what? I need 3 days to think about this and process it and talk to my husband, and, you know, and get back to you. And a lot of times people were like, well, I need to know now. And I would say, okay, then the answer is no. But if you want to wait, if you want to wait 3 days.
That is so good. That is so, so good. That is like, everybody take that. If somebody needs an answer right away, just make the answer always no. That
always
will,
no. Yeah.
You will teach them how to treat you. I mean.
And And then the other thing I think of the biggest takeaway, Nicole, was that I started to factor in not just myself in the yeses. Like I would just think, can I do this? Yep. I would never stop to think, what is this going to do to my relationships and my family? What is this going to do to everything I got to do around the house? Even though my husband and I mean, my husband and I, we both live here. We both do things around the house. We both do things in the kitchen, but still I have my fair share. And so what's it going to do to my relationships and my family? What's it going to do to what I've got going around the house? What's this going to do to my other commitments? You know, because what happens is we, when we are presented with a new opportunity, responsibility, task, whatever it is, we don't actually think, oh, maybe I should say no to this. I've already got a lot on my plate. Or we don't say, oh, maybe I should remove something from my plate before I say yes to this. Because you know what? We think we are just so clever and capable that if we just rearrange everything, somehow we can make it all fit. And I quit doing that. I started to think, I'm not just thinking about myself here. What about my relationships? What about my stuff I got going around the house? And what about my other commitments? Am I going to have to slack off on something I've already said yes to and do a halfway job at it because I'm taking on this new task? And guess what? That means I probably am only going to do a halfway job at this new task if I don't have time for both of them. So I really tried to factor that all in, really think through it, not answer right away, get familiar with saying no. And now I would say, you know, before I probably 100% of the time or close to it said yes. And now it's like 50-50. You might get me, you might not.
So what are the things that you found that I'm just curious, like what are the things that you find that you have now an enthusiastic yes for now that your yes is more clear?
Okay. So not that I think that everything has to always be within our area of giftedness. I mean, I don't do toddler cookies anymore. I've kind of transitioned.
So the toddler cookies, someone else can make the toddler cookies. It's time.
Well, I've kind of transitioned to, I have a heart for college students. And so I'm still making food at church, but now I'm doing it for college students because I love mentoring. I love discipleship. And so I have a college student I'm mentoring. So it made more sense for me in meeting with her occasionally for mentoring and being involved in her life to, you know, say, hey, I'll provide the snacks this week. And when I meet with her, I'm like, hey, can you take it to the meeting? It just made more sense than doing things in two different areas at church. And I've really told myself that there are seasons. Part of the problem is I love everybody and I love everything. And I like learning new things and I like meeting new people.
I love how you started our interview with like, hey, if you're a people pleaser, like there's no shame in that game. It's just about like when your strength becomes when your strength becomes a non-strength. Like it's not that the heart of who you are and the things that you love, like you're saying, Karen, like you're finding that and you're still doing that.
Right. So I've had to tell myself, you know, there are seasons and right now, maybe I can't say yes. I just got asked at church to do something with the women's ministry. And it's something I would love to do. It's right in my wheelhouse, but the reality of my schedule right now means I can't do it. So I said, I'm not your girl for this school year, but hit me up again next fall. Things may look differently. I have an interest. I have a love. I'll be praying, but I can't be serving there right now. Mm-hmm. But I used to always feel like, you know, I just had to say yes to everything right now because what if those opportunities go away?
Yes.
But you know, you can do it all, just not all at once, I guess.
Yeah.
More or less.
Well, I'm wondering too, like, did you find, because the other thing that is so interesting about not having boundaries is what we're really talking about, right? Is you can be, you can live a life of reactivity where you're never really proactively seeking out like the stuff and the person and the invitations that you want to be a part of. And I'm wondering, did that change for you at all as far as you pursuing things that you want to do as opposed to having the request come to you?
Oh yeah, for sure. One thing that, this all was kind of happening about 9 months to a year mm-hmm. before COVID. But then when COVID hit, my speaking engagements kind of dried up. And I mm-hmm. thought, you know, there's one thing I've always wanted to do. I've always wanted to do like an online course. Mm-hmm. This would be the perfect time. But before I had my season of necessary and no, and before I learned to not say yes all the time, there was not an inch of space mm-hmm. on my schedule to do it. And because I not only freed up time by saying no when I didn't feel called, mm-hmm. but also because I wasn't traveling and speaking, I was able to do something I wanted to do, which mm-hmm. was start, it's called my mentorship courses. And I've started a mentorship course site with two friends and we've run our second course and I love it, but I would have never had the space mm. and the bandwidth to do that if I hadn't learned that I don't have to be out, you know, just saying yes and solving everybody's problems. Mm-hmm. I can be strategic in how I spend my time. Yes, I still want to serve. Yes, I still want to love. There are times I do things that aren't outside my, or that aren't in my wheelhouse. They're outside my wheelhouse. And there are times I do menial tasks anybody could do, like baking of the cookies, right? But because I'm letting myself and what I feel the Lord wants me to do set mm-hmm. the agenda rather than let other people, you mm-hmm. know, because the reality is if you're not intentional in how you spend your time, there are a dozen people out there that'll, you know, set your schedule for you. They'll mm-hmm. figure out how you spend your time.
Yeah. So when you, I'm just kind of like thinking through people that I know myself overscheduled, wanting to really put this in place. Where do you start? If you can't do the summer off, you know, even though that's like very appealing, where would be a good place to start for our listeners? Obviously read the book, that will get you started. But if they're sitting here listening and they're like, gosh, Karen sounds just like me. I know what she's talking about. I know I do it, but I just don't know what to do. What advice would you give?
Well, it's going to sound like a total Sunday school answer, but it really is the key for me is I had to realize that I had never consistently been deliberate about praying about the daily decisions I make in my life. Now, if something came my way, I go, oh, maybe I got to pray about it. But I didn't make it a habit every morning to say, Lord, today, I know I'm going to be presented with opportunities and I want to be so in tune with you that I know when it's you tapping me on the heart through the Holy Spirit saying, this one's for you, say yes to this. And when it's me just wanting to please someone or not even like wanting to please them, but not wanting to disappoint them, not wanting to anger them, you know, wanting to keep up my reputation.
Not wanting to be
capable.
Awkward, all that you just said. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So tap me on the heart when it's you. Saying go for it, say yes, and help me when it's not to have the boldness to say yes. And it doesn't have to be that I, you know, bark out a no in an unloving manner. I can tuck my truth in an envelope of kindness and say, I am so touched that you asked me and my heart would love to say yes, but I have to say no. And so I just really made it a matter of prayer. And I would, you know, also shoot up these, you know, arrow prayers or whatever they're called, you know, in the moment and say, Lord, help me to answer in a way that I know is in line with you and not just in line with the person standing in front of me or the person on the other end of the phone or the person on the other end of the email. Help me to truly ask myself, is this what God wants me to do? Mm-hmm. Not, is this what this other person wants me to do?
Mm-hmm. Gosh, that's so good. I know it's simple. I know it's a Sunday school answer, but I really do think like those profound changes, like you said, every morning, Lord, I'm presented with opportunities. Like, help me know which ones are from you. And I'm assuming, I know you have to get you got to get your heart tuned a little bit to the Holy Spirit. I often find I recognize choices in the negative. Like just where we started this interview, you said when you got to your breaking point, you had that little voice in you that was like, don't say yes to this. And you just ignored it, you know, with your best friend mm-hmm. and her mm-hmm. and staying at your house. So how do you, like, was your heart immediately tuned or did you start to recognize, oh, that was me like ignoring or, you know, I guess rebelling is the right word, but avoiding and doing something that was outside of the will of God?
Yeah, I think it took a while because so often I it's sad to say here, the Bible teacher didn't consult God, but I didn't. I mm-hmm. would just say, oh, sure, I can do that. I'm mm-hmm. capable of doing that. I want this person to like me. Okay, the answer is yes, you know, mm-hmm. but it took a while to really learn to think through it thoroughly before I opened my mouth, because mm-hmm. I would just open my mouth here's the other thing I would do. I would over-explain. Like if I was trying to say yeah. no, I would over-explain, and all that did was give them a lot of reasons to come back and kind of explain away my explanations, right? So if I'd say, well, you know, I just like, for example, I get often asked to endorse books, mm-hmm. like probably 5 to 10 a month. I mean, so mm-hmm. many that come. Some are from people I know, some are from people I've never heard of. And I used to just say yes to all of them. And then I remember I had a friend that said, all right, what are you, like a professional book endorser? That's all I do is I see your name on every single book in the bookstore. So I would just explain away. I had someone ask me not to, you know, long ago, hey, will you endorse my book, through an email? And I should have just given a polite no.
Yeah.
But instead I started to explain, oh, thanks so much. I'm so honored you'd ask me. But, and then I gave like three things, like, mm-hmm. I can't get it back by the deadline. Mm-hmm. I blah, 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 whatever. And of course, what did I get back? An email explaining away all my explanations.
Exactly.
Oh, well, my publisher will give you an extra 6 weeks. Oh, well, you can do this. Oh, well, you can do that. And so finally I did say no. And I thought, this wasted my time.
Yeah.
This wasted her time. Mm-hmm. I should have just said, oh, give a little bit of reason. Like, I wish so bad I could, you know, say yes to all the endorsements, but I get dozens of them per year. And I just don't have the space because I read every word of every book. I'm not yep. going to just give an endorsement. You know, I wish I had time to just, but I would be reading, you know, 10 hours a week right. and I don't have that much time. When I read books for endorsements is when I'm on flights. And mm-hmm. so I fit in as many as I can per year and I have to say no the rest of them. Now, I didn't need to give that long of an answer, but I should have just said, I get asked so much. I wish I could say yes to all of them, but I'm full. My schedule for this year is full.
Yeah.
But I'll be cheering you on and I hope your book does well. That's what I should have said.
That was good coaching for everyone. I'm like, let's walk through a no. I like walking through a no with people mm-hmm. when they're really uncomfortable with no. So that was a perfect example. You're like, here's how not to do it, because this is what's going to happen. Yep. And you're going to expend all of this emotional energy and you're going to get the other person wrapped around the axle. And then there's also like a 50% chance you're going to end up saying yes, like because they explain away your explanation and then you feel bad. So now you're like kind of trapped. Or mm-hmm. you can do like what you said, you can have a big heart for them and you can have clear boundaries and just a positive answer. And I always tell, you know, the other thing is like that author or, you know, the person asking you to make toddler cookies or the person, they don't know what your life is like. They have no idea what's on your plate. And they certainly don't know what your emotional life is like if you're grieving the loss of your dad. If you've just gone through a transition, they're not responsible for that. You're responsible for that. So I think my big takeaway is definitely the like wait on the response. And if a person demands a response, the answer is no, because mm-hmm. it'll give you time to catch up to this awesome grid that you've given us on like how you think through, like, what am I taking from? If I say yes to this, where's it coming from? Is it coming from my self-care? Is it coming from my relationship with my husband? Is it coming? Like, it's coming mm-hmm. from somewhere. It's not just a yes. So those are like amazing, amazing tactics and techniques for sure. For all of our listeners, I've loved getting to hear this and like just really bring like practical. I appreciate Karen so much that you bring us to practical places, and there's so much more to discover in the book. So we're grateful for you. You guys pick up the book. If you know you're a people pleaser, consider this your moment. Consider this an invitation from God that you're listening to this podcast and we're addressing this issue, because I think I'm going to let you say, Karen, but what are you in your character? What is essentially different about you because you've controlled your yeses and nos, because you're living into like the right ratio of yeses and nos? How has it changed your soul?
Well, I definitely feel like it revealed to me that I was a fantastic fibber, because as much as we don't want to admit it, there's a lot of lying involved in people pleasing. You know, when you slap a smile on your face and say, sure, I'd love to, but your heart is not saying, sure, I'd love to, there is a disconnect there and you're not being totally authentic.
Yeah.
And you're not being totally honest. So it's helped me to learn to be honest while still being kind. And it's helped me to cultivate those friendships that are true friendships, because the people are friends with me not for what I will do for them. You know, certainly I like to do for my friends when I can, but I did lose some friends over all of this, you know, not really close friends, but just, you know, kind of acquaintance slash friends, you know, people that would ask me things and I didn't hear from them a lot. You know, now I look back, I'm like, oh, I should have clued in that I only really heard from them when they wanted something. But, you know, I feel like it's helped me to be honest with myself, honest before God, and honest before others. And so I don't have this, you know, nagging cloud hanging over my head, not only of regret for saying yes, but of, man, you did not shoot straight with that person.
Yeah.
You're kind of really not, you're being a fake. You know, those things are gone. Those things are gone.
Yeah. What, I mean, you're walking in freedom. You're walking in integrity, because there's, where there's truth, there's freedom, you know? And so really on the deeper level underneath all of this, that is a beautiful thing that I think is really the promise of working through something hard, like people pleasing, something hard, like changing a pattern in your life. So awesome, Karen. I'm so grateful for your personal story, for the way that you share it. And then of course, you're so pithy and able to like put those practical pieces in place for all of us. So super grateful. Okay. I ask all my guests this before we close our time together. Everything that we need will be in the show notes. We can get your book everywhere, right? Anywhere books are sold. Is there anything else about the book that you want us to know, just that would help? Or can we just pick it up?
Yeah, you can just pick it up in January of 2022, a Bible study curriculum.
Oh, good.
A companion. Yep.
Oh, awesome. I'm so glad to know that. That's great. Okay. So here's our closing question, just to take us back out. Okay. So I love to ask all my guests, what is a product or an app that's like changing your life right now?
Let me think. Oh, usually I'm small
or as big as you want it to be.
Probably, okay, this is going to sound really silly, but you may have seen them kind of pop up on an Instagram ad. I can't remember where I first saw them, but these, I don't even know the exact technical name for them, but they're these vegetable storage pods that like have a very thin film of like silicone or whatever. And then like you use half an onion, you put the onion in there and then you screw the pod back on.
Okay.
I don't have rotting vegetables.
Your algorithm on Instagram is different than mine, because I definitely thought you were going to say like nail stickers or whatever, but I'm in. I'm like, oh my gosh, I need that.
I have a tomato one and an avocado one and an onion one. And now I don't use Ziploc bags anymore. And it's so funny, because every time when someone comes to my house, they're like, when they don't see the vegetable in it, when it's just sitting there, like, what is this thing? Because it's just like this piece of plastic with this sheer film over it that's either like avocado shaped or circular or whatever.
Okay.
But I use those things all the time.
And they work, is what you're telling
us. And they work, yeah. And then the vegetables, they just don't go rotten like they do in a baggie. I don't know what it is.
Okay, well, I will hunt down that product and make sure that it's in the show notes, you guys. I'm telling you, Karen, without fail, everything that people share, it's like other people are like, oh my gosh, I need that. So thank you. Thank you for this infomercial moment. And thank you for saving all of our vegetables and for saving our time and for helping us rediscover our no. That is awesome. Thanks, Karen.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to the Let's Be Real podcast. If you have a question for the show, you can send it to me at Nicole@NicoleEunice.com. And hey, if you're enjoying this, we'd love for you to like, subscribe, share it with your friends, pass it on, shout it from the rooftops, whatever you feel like doing, because the reality is, let's get as many people getting real as possible. Talk to you soon.